This podcast is part of the Neverland Network, where faith meets video games, movies, and fun. Find more shows like this at neverlandpodcast.com. Welcome to Watching Movies with My Pastor. I am, of course, me, your Jeremy, your Spider-Pan. I probably said that in a reverse order. I'm your Spider-Pan. I am not your Jeremy. You do not own me. My wife does. So God paid for it, and Heather put a ring on it. So, but I am your Spider-Man at your service. Your Spider-Pan, I almost said Spider-Man. See, I'm all messed up. I'm so excited just for this film. We're going to watch the 1987 Masters of the Universe. And, of course, with me, as always, is...
Hey there. I am Pastor Philip Quillor.
And he's doing a really bad Batty Billy Barty just for you.
Yes.
Because every time I hear him, I get excited for several reasons. Because it reminds me of when I first went to Disney World. Well, not the first time.
Dreamfinder.
Not the first time. The second time. The first time I didn't get to go. It opened up right after we left. Right after we left.
Well, I never got to go on it at all.
It opened up apparently just like a month or so after. So the second time, which honest to God, we didn't want to go. I'm talking about us kids. We didn't want to go because here's how my father sold it. It's a wonderful educational park. Now, let me tell you, no kid ever wants to go to an educational park.
Don't teach me something on my vacation.
Here's what the kids hears in his mind. He thinks of school.
Yeah.
You don't want to think of school when you go to summer vacation.
But your dad was always going to historical places anyway.
He loved education. Well, he was a pastor.
Yeah.
But education is fun if you do it right. Yeah. And Disney did. And I don't know about now, but they did then.
Yeah.
Plus,
they were teaching you about
imagination.
Oh,
and Billy Barty. And I had no idea how much we knew Billy Barty and loved him.
That's great.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was amazing, just amazing. He was on Walton's. He was on everything. I didn't know how many things in the 50s and 60s he was in.
Was it Ice Pirates or Time Bandits?
I think both.
He
was on everything. He was on just about every show.
If they needed a little guy, there's Billy Barty, even in Willow.
And that voice.
The bones. Oh, my goodness. Nothing. He just had that raspy voice.
And it was just so amazing, and I loved it. And one of the last things he did was rescue his
daughter. And this is what you're getting for Orko, because Orko would have been way too expensive to do. They just didn't have the budget.
And not just that. Originally, Warner Brothers looked at it, and then Fox and a couple others, and then it went
to
Canon.
And Canon says, hey, we'll try to make anything with our cheap budget.
But you couldn't have. And that's kind of, this movie was just one of the many that kind of did Canon in. What really did Canon in was Canon, because the people who ran it, the people that ran it, they always try to cheap out. And what did they do that year? They did two of my favorite things, and I don't want to say ruin because I like Masters of the Universe, okay?
Yeah.
But they kind of did dirty in the sense that they did Masters of the Universe and Superman 4.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
But this is the movie that they thought was going to be their moneymaker.
Oh, I know.
And it was the end, it was the end for Canon, this
Superman
movie, when it didn't
4,
go.
Superman 4, they went so cheap on.
Awful.
So cheap on. I mean, I don't know if you've ever watched Superman 4, the Quest for Peace. First of all, I really feel bad for Christopher Reeve, because Christopher Reeve,
he was very excited about it.
Oh, he was.
I used to have a Muppet Magazine where he did an interview
about
the movie. I wish I still had my Muppet Magazine and my Masters of the Universe magazines. I had subscriptions to it when I was little.
Christopher was such a loving person. Look, politically speaking, I didn't agree with him on most things, but I will tell you this.
Well, that's typical for Hollywood.
But he had a great heart.
Yeah.
And a loving man. And he really wanted to protect the world. So there's the good thing about that. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that some of the stuff that was in there is kind of goofy. But I'll say this about Gene Hackman. The movie is way below him. The reason he did it was because he loved Christopher.
Yeah.
And I just, oh, man. Anyway.
Speaking of Masters of the Universe,
Canon did bad.
What's fun about this, and it might be in my notes
Frank
here.
Frank is the best part.
I got to remember. Yeah, Frank Langella stole it, but we'll get into that here
later.
Like the ending of the film, Ganon cut them off before they could finish. So when you see that battle between Skeletor and He-Man, the reason why it's dark in the background is because they're filming in a little small closed set because they needed to finish it. That's why you don't get... This battle was supposed to be all across Grayskull, but they couldn't get into the Grayskull set anymore. So they really didn't have much lighting. But it adds kind of a neat effect to the battle. Makes it very focused. But they had to film it in a small thing, so you can't... Yeah, it's all dark because you can't see they weren't on the set anymore.
I noticed that when I was a kid. I was like, I wonder what happened. And I didn't know. And then, of course, Courtney Cox, who I thought was cute... And later on, I saw her on Family Ties, just like a year later.
Oh, yeah. She had small part on there.
She was Michael J. Fox's girlfriend on the show.
Right. Of course she was.
Alex, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, he met his wife on that show. That's how he met his wife. She played the one that we all loved because during the whole Back to the Future time.
Yeah.
He met her on there, fell in love with her, and he just would not leave her alone until finally. Same thing that happened to Kirk Cameron, in a
sense. When he met his wife on set.
Yeah, it was great. Then the other thing that happened was Courtney, of course, did Friends, and she was on a few other shows too. But I knew her from this first.
Yeah.
I didn't know she did the Bruce Springsteen video. But I didn't know that as a kid.
Which is funny because the video is supposed to be like, oh, it's just this random girl in the crowd that came up to dance on stage.
Yeah.
No, it was
a setup.
It was Courtney Cox and her terrible dance moves, which she still used on Friends.
It's very smart. Very smart. The other guy, and I can't think of his name, but he played the boy on this.
Well, we'll get into that because I do have a casting list, of course, in here.
And the bald guy from Back to the Future.
Right.
I love him.
I should have a cast list when we get down to it.
I love that guy.
All my notes are...
He made it seem real in those moments.
Oh, no, he's not listed. He just passed away, though.
Yes, he did.
But the guy you were thinking of was Robert Duncan McNeil.
Yes.
Who was also on Star Trek and then became a producer on shows like Chuck.
Chuck, yeah. He was great.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes working behind the scenes is where you do your best work. But before we get this thing rolling, released in 1987, Masters of the Universe was Cannon Films' ambitious attempt to bring Mattel's hugely popular He-Man franchise to the big screen, directed by Gary Goddard, who has been on the Phantom Nexus, by the way.
Really?
Go and check out that one. I did get a chance to interview him. He actually makes a lot of theme park attractions now. The film stars Dolph Lundgren as He-Man and Frank Langella as Skeletor. Frank Langella took the role because his son loved He-Man. And so he went full Shakespeare, man.
Oh, I love it. He even added, honest to God, lines from Macbeth in this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And rather than taking place entirely on Eternia, much of the story occurs on Earth, where He-Man and his allies battle Skeletor's forces while trying to recover the Cosmic Key and return home. Although the movie underperformed at the box office and has developed a devoted cult following over the years and is now remembered fondly by many fans who grew up in the 1980s. And Cannon Films was, you know, when they were rewriting the script that they had gotten from, I forgot the guy's name, over at Warner Bros. There had been a script been bouncing around, but they told it, we want to make Star Wars, which is pretty much what you have. Skeletor's crew is pretty much their Stormtroopers.
No, they are.
It's Star Wars, although not very well done.
In that scene, they remind me of Star Wars combined with The Black Hole, combined with a couple of other films, you know?
The Black Hole!
Yeah, and Bill Conti does a great job with the music.
Bill Conti's music, which I'm sure we'll bring up later.
Kind of Star Wars-ish meets...
Yes, he was trying to make Star Wars music. Yes. He sounded like John Williams, you can tell.
Kind of combined.
It's wanting to show a preview, so... I'm going to hit the play button. We need to start this movie.
One other thing. This is the movie I first got to... I saw this on my 11th birthday in 1987. I saw this on my 11th birthday, and my father had just got back from having open heart surgery. Oof. And so this was my... To me, this will always be the film that makes me think of how great my father was, that here he could barely do anything, and he took us to see this with my buddy Seth. And so, great memories. Great, great memories.
All righty. Well, without further ado, let's get going with this thing. As soon as that's the circle...
I do love the song.
We're watching this on Amazon Prime, but I do own a copy of it.
Yeah.
The nice thing is you get an MGM logo in front of it because now MGM owns the rights
to this.
Which
is great.
Yeah.
And I do love that in the new film they put Battle Cat in that.
Yes, in place in the MGM. Oh, yes.
I hope they would. And there's
They showed it in one of the teaser things anyway.
But even before that, we were talking about how great that would be. But I didn't honestly think
they would.
Good old
Cannon Films logo.
By the way, Jeremy, I'm going to be making a Cannon shirt for myself because I saw that people sell it, but I like one. I want to get one.
The Cannon Group Incorporated presents.
Yay.
Whoever Golan Globus is.
I'm sure there's co-producers, you know.
A lot of people who thought they were probably going to make big money off of film, and it probably should
do
have.
Do you remember?
If they would have not put it on Earth and maybe had a different script, it might have worked.
Even if he had a little bit on Earth. But one thing I did like at the time, I didn't know.
Oh, here we go. The intro.
The matte painting.
Which I've never liked their design of Castle Grayskull. It looks weird. It's a cool matte painting.
It's like Castle Grayskull meets Star Wars meets I don't know what.
Yeah, they went really kind of high tech, except for they had to put a skull on there. Yeah, of course, now the sorceress is played by the woman who would later play Courtney Cox's mother on Friends.
Oh, is that her?
Yeah, that's her.
I love that lady.
Here we go. We got to say the thing. And here comes the music.
Dun, dun, dun. I love this song.
It is pretty good. I've heard some people criticize it this week.
No, I love it.
So by the mid-1980s, He-Man was one of the biggest toy and cartoon franchises in the world. Mattel wanted to feature a feature film, and Cannon Films eagerly acquired the rights after it passed. James Tolkien, that's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge was budget. When the filmmakers wanted to create the vast fantasy world of Eternia, the production couldn't afford to spend the entire movie there. As a result, much of the film was relocated to modern-day Earth, allowing the studio to save money on sets, costumes, and special effects. This decision disappointed many fans, but at the time, ultimately gave the movie its unique fish-out-of-water identity. I'm trying to look for, like, there we go. I usually read this before we get started, but... Okay, so they produced the film for about $22 million and earned roughly $17 million domestically. Because of its large budget and marketing costs, the movie was considered a financial disappointment upon release. However, home video rentals and television broadcasts helped to find a much larger audience in the years that followed. Like many 1980s fantasy films, its reputation improved significantly over time. And, you know, I feel like I should have a He-Man figure right here in hand.
I know.
Because I'm going to plug another podcast real quick. Yeah, David O'Dell, he's the one that changed the original script. But the Retro Rewind podcast, I was on there to discuss this film and do a retro review. And I went from being tragic to saying it's nostalgic after watching it.
Because I love it.
The nostalgia of holding, and I was sitting there holding fingers in my hand while we were reviewing it.
Awesome.
And
the thing is, I do actually love it, because I'm not saying I love it like the new or even the cartoon, but there's so many feelings.
And I love the way he stomps there.
And the music is really good.
Yeah.
It's funny how popular it is to be a critical jerk.
Yeah.
Criticizing jerk.
But it's a part of our childhood. It is. Why I find a love for it now.
Me too. And honestly,
that set was amazing.
I loved it then.
Yeah.
Also, now that I understand the story more about his mom being from Earth, him going to Earth kind of makes more sense to me. Of course,
although
they have
at no point do they ever refer to him as being Prince Adam.
No, they don't.
So I think they took some of the stuff from the original ideas that he was going to be this barbarian that was given this harness thing, armor, that gave him the power from the goddess of Meg Foster's scary but beautiful blue eyes.
Yeah, they're like this almost this aqua greenish blue.
Yeah. No. Oh, Frank Langella.
And she's been
and
a
I love
lot
this.
Of things.
He doesn't have to say anything, but the way he curls his finger around the Havoc staff. It's mine.
He was so good.
He's so good with what he did non-verbally.
His eyes.
I really wish they could have given him some red contacts or something so he didn't have like human-looking eyes as much.
But he's so good. Mm-hmm. If they had then what we have now as far as black contacts and all with the red, he would have been great. Although it doesn't matter. He did good anyway.
The makeup still looks pretty cool for what they could do in 1987.
Yeah. And when they made it in like 85, 86,
when they're filming it. Yeah.
That is her mama in there.
Yeah. I'm going to go grab a figure to hold on to and... because I got two and I can still talk to y'all while I'm doing it. I'm gonna like nerd out and like
I actually have the new I almost brought them but I have the new figures even though the Dolph Lundgren
the new
toy,
movie figures I haven't gotten them
the,
yet
the Dolph Lundgren one
doesn't
look like him because they didn't have the rights
they couldn't
looks,
do the rights of everybody
but it still looks good.
So in fact, I'm walking to my office
it came with two heads one that looks more like the old toy and one that looks like quote unquote Dolph. But in the new movie, they make a reference to this, which I love. Up in the air, it shows this hologram, and I love that. There's quite a few references to this film in the new film, which I love.
This is mainly, I guess, for my own sake, because none of you that are actually listening to this podcast or even watching video on YouTube can see that I'm bringing these figures out. Eventually, we do want to have a camera and a green screen set up, and you can watch the movies with us, but I don't have what I need. But for the nostalgia's sake, because part of what makes this movie still watchable is the nostalgia of being a child and holding these in hand, somehow or another, just feels right.
Heck, every year I make them as characters on the WWE games.
Heck fire.
Every year. And I always make the
poor
belts.
Oh, Wildor in the net.
Oh, I love him.
Come on. Let me free. He-Man. Come save me.
He's great.
All right, I got to put my headphones on back on so I can hear the movie.
See, the music's great. Yeah. I love it.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
I mean... He came to America to go to MIT.
Yeah.
He was very brilliant, but also he was a karate champion.
Yeah.
And they had to kind of, alter his moves because he didn't have sword experience, but he knew how to punch and kick the snot out of you.
The music still gets me excited to this day.
Sometimes I'm trying to figure out which direction to put my headphones on my head. And I do love the fact that he gets to use the power sword to deflect lasers like in the cartoon.
It's great.
But there is something too, just holding and these figures in you, hand.
I like this actor who plays Man-at-Arms. He fits it pretty good. I like his helmet even.
But the only figures I had, one of them was a Skeletor like this, the classic style Skeletor with a Man-at-Arms and a Teela were the only figures I ever owned. Well, no, I did have a Battle Armor Skeletor at some point.
I had quite a few because I was blessed at Christmas in 1983. And I received the Castle Grayskull, which I still have, and the originals, most of the originals.
Hey, no.
And I still have them. Yeah. I ended up when I was... It's funny how long time seems then than, compared to now. But months later, I end up getting Orko and a few others. And I still have most of them.
I think the swords that I have these figures holding actually came from some of the Origins figures. And even the shield, is from, I think you gave me, you had an extra shield. I would like to get one of the original shields that would probably fit. Because I think even those 40th anniversary whatever sets that we got, I think it actually has like an original style shield because they kind of remade these figures.
Yeah, they did.
They're really, those 40th anniversaries are cool. I got two sets, one to get out of the box and one I'm keeping in the box because the box was so cool. Oh, look, this He-Man, this is one I got at a convention for $20. He's got the squishy head.
With Gwildor,
two
things of Gwildor I like. First of all, in the new film, at the very end, his
silhouette,
shape,
he's
a silhouette of him.
So
on
cool.
Because someone said Gwildor's not in the new film, thank God, they said. And I said, no, actually, he's kind of is in,
kinda
at the
is.
End of it. And two, he's in the comics
now. You know
now.
What? Since they... Okay, I don't want to spoil anything for the movie, but they've previewed that they're going to probably have to go to another planet in the next film. I'll just say
I assume.
Gwildor could show up with a cosmic key and give them the way to go to this other planet to do what's going to happen in maybe the next film.
Well, one thing...
You know what I mean? Instead of the sorcerers opening it up, Gwildor could be part of it.
One thing they do a lot, they love to give little hints to things at the end of things.
Yeah.
They do it on figures even. I've noticed on the comics and also on the paintings that are on either the figures or the vehicles. They will, in the background, have a character that will sometimes be in the next line or two or three lines down the way. I've noticed this. It's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
It gives you a little, hey, we winked at you.
Wink, wink. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
The Gwildor is also in the cartoon that was on Netflix. Remember him and Orko were fighting? I got the figure from
it. The Kevin Smith one, like, was it first season that they put him into
it? I think it was second.
Second season? I'm going to have to watch this again. I actually liked it.
Because I actually got the figure. It came with an Orko. I didn't care about getting the Orko. I just really wanted him.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Well, and Billy Barty with that one eye thing he always would
do. And the guy who did the voice was really close to Billy Barty. I said, get him. I want Figment back. I love Figment.
Yes. Well, I mean, Figment, I guess, is still around. Well, no, I think I guess they did wipe him out mostly.
Yeah, but I
think they've changed it again. I
don't
know.
Back.
Yeah. I feel like as I sit here, I need to be holding them my figures. Especially because these are original ones that I got at convention. I think, and I like that it still has all the, because most, you know, a lot of kids would take the harness thing off of He-Man and lose it.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, never take that off. And I'm glad I got figures that had all the stuff. They were just missing weapons, but I had origin weapons that I've given them.
I
need an extra Havoc stack.
The original He-Man story had it where he didn't have the harness, and that's what gave him power.
Yeah, he got the harness from the goddess.
Yeah, they gave him power.
After he saved her from something in that mini-comic. Yep.
Because Teela originally was both, the sorceress.
Right. The figure was supposed to play two figures.
She was the enchantress, they called her, right?
No, they called her the warrior goddess.
Warrior goddess, that's right.
Which is on the package, and they did do a thing in the new film for that. I kind of appreciated that.
You know, I got to say, I'm not sure who did it, but the people that did the makeup in this did a fairly good job.
Yeah.
Another character that freaked me out in this film that I thought was great. Oh, by the way, I don't know if I told you this. I have the original Gwildor action figure. My sister found it for me at a thrift shop. Now, this is years ago, like, let's say 8, 9, 10 years ago. My sister's good about that. She sees something that reminds her of me, she grabs it.
Stomping all over Gwildor's
little garden. Another one I have is Blade. I had the figure of that.
Neat.
Yeah, she found
it for me. I'm surprised they didn't squeeze him into the new movie.
Oh, I kept hoping for it.
Yeah.
But we do have a Karg, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Karg.
Who's right here. He freaked me out back
then. Which I'm kind of glad to see him not being this little short guy, but being like a full, big, scary-looking dude.
Though I do think the actor did a good job back then.
Yeah.
I think he was kind of a trap jaw type.
The fun thing is the guy who played Blade, and he was on Facebook actually said thinking how nice he enjoyed the new movie and it's kind
of
fun.
Yeah, that's nice.
But he was actually a stunt coordinator, and he actually helped organize the fights.
Funny. It's kind of like what happened with what's his name? Ray something or other. Ray Park.
Yeah. Where he did the fight choreography.
And then he ended up becoming Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Wow, look at all the weapons that's on Man-at-Arms. I didn't notice that back in the day.
Yeah, they have weapons on the sides and everything. Well, because, you know, the toy would have had a thing.
You know, I always wanted back then. They only brought out three action figures to represent the film, to go along with the others. I always wished
Sauron or...
Sauron was the one that... He was a lizard. Sauron or whatever it was.
Whatever it is. They'll say it because Sauron was like Lord of the Rings.
And he was only in for a couple minutes.
But he was really cool and they toast him.
What they did that was smart in the toy, though... Now, he had a tail, and usually that didn't stay on the figure because kids pop it off. But
these figures you could pop and exchange the arms and stuff, too.
Now, back then it was a little different. But what they had then was a little wheel on his back, and it would shoot sparks from his mouth. Now, I don't know how long that lasted. Like, it could have, who knows?
Yeah, I guess eventually ran out of friction or something.
Flint or something, or whatever it was made out of. I'm not sure. Let's just say
Flint.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I know they're causing some friction.
Things were different then. Star Wars... is the exception, except even then, the amount of Star Wars figures they made then compared to the amount of Star Wars now, completely different.
Yeah.
But I would love to have seen, incidentally, I'm just now looking at her design. At the time, I was thinking, she's nothing like the cartoon, but the Sorceress...
Except for the white.
I was going to say, the original design, she was all white, and that was in the... Wasn't it the little comic books?
Yeah, I believe in the mini comics. Yeah. When they did a Sorceress, and eventually, because they kind of took the Warrior Goddess idea and changed it into the Sorceress.
That's the interesting thing about Masters of the Universe, which originally was just going to be called He-Man.
Yeah.
And they changed it. Lords of Power. Well, it was He-Man, and then Lords of Power, then Masters of the Universe. Mm-hmm. And what's funny was the original creators didn't like much of it. It really took a great amount of people and a great amount of time to find their way through it.
Yeah.
But if it hadn't been for Filmation, it wouldn't have ever become what it became.
Yeah, Filmation giving it some lore and making it solid and coming up with the secret identity of Prince Adam.
Yeah.
And even bringing in Orko. I mean, Orko was popular.
Well, first of all, the creator himself, Lou Scheimer, or whatever.
He's, I think, the one that voiced Orko, too.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He loved that more. I say creator, I mean, he was the one who's in charge of Filmation.
Yeah.
That is his favorite character of all he did, and he did a lot of characters.
Another great line. I dare anything. I am Skeletor.
My favorite one is, I don't think so. No. Look at his eyes.
Yes.
Oh. A little warm as a little key. I love it.
Oh, this feels like we haven't been paying attention.
I know. This is too good.
Critics often compared this unfavorably to larger fantasy productions like Star Wars and Conan the Barbarian.
Sure.
Many reviewers felt the movie strayed too far from the cartoon and toy line. Modern audiences tend to be more forgiving, appreciating the practical effects, creature costumes, Frank Langella's performance, the film's earnest tone, and its unapologetic 1980s charm. Today it enjoys, of course, a cult classic status among fantasy and toy-based film fans.
Although, I will, it is kind of ironic, because if it hadn't been for Star Wars and Conan, Masters of the Universe would have never been created.
Because
originally it was going to be Conan, and then it wasn't. Oh. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
John Cypher is Man-at-Arms, by the way.
Oh.
Because you were talking about him earlier.
Yes, you're right.
His name popped up. And Chelsea Field is Teela.
I liked her, too. I saw a thing about her recently. The other thing was the reason they didn't go with Conan, because it was a rated R movie.
Yeah.
But honestly...
Of course, now these days they do, because they make toys for adults.
Then they did make...
I don't want to say they make adult toys, because that's an entirely different genre.
Yeah. I originally bought one of the Conan toys that's supposed to be like He-Man. He-Man changed the way a lot of toys are made, though.
Yeah.
Because the one that did make a Conan action figure, which is funny, because it doesn't look anything like Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
But that was from, not Galoob, but what's the other one? I can't think of it all of a sudden.
I want to say Playmates or
something. No, it was the one that you could only get them at Kmart and places like that. And then until they would go on sale, but it was... they also made the AWA.
The ones that are basically, they look like He-Man figures.
They were. That's what they're based off of.
I had some of those. I had a Ric Flair, Rick Martel.
Yeah, I still got some. That's what the new WWE superstars are based off of.
Yeah.
Because it is all He-Man.
All muscle figures.
They're all based off Masters
of
the Universe.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. They made a genre is what they did.
Yeah, they really did.
Because before that, everything was trying to be Star
I hear my
Wars.
Phone ringing. Oh. Uh-oh. That might have been an important call.
We can pause this if need be.
I'll let you in here. I'm going to mute myself.
All right.
And I'm going to go see what that was the place that fixed my car.
This part here, I always loved. Of course, I was just a simple young person when I saw this, 11. And, of course, when you're 10, you become 11, you're like, oh, I'm so much older. But I loved this scene. And in the new film... You have things that kind of remind you of this, which you're supposed to do, I guess. But I enjoy it. They have a spot that reminds me. Heck, it might be the same pond or lake or whatever you want to call it.
Hey there, y'all
I don't know that it is, but I bet being in that mask or makeup or whatever it is, maybe it's a combination of both, for Billy Barty, I bet that was so obnoxious and uncomfortable. I like the little ears. I'm sure that was electronic. That was great. The thing that is interesting back then, if there was a movie based off a cartoon or a comic book, you always kind of knew that it was going to be different in its own little reality. I mean, even when Superman or Batman was made, I guess you would say it was charming that it was different. You expected it to be different. It was its own world, its own reality. It still is that way. It's not the same. It's a unique universe. That's the way it was then. So when people who complained because it wasn't like the cartoon or anything, I knew it wasn't going to be. They never were. When you had the Superman movie, that was different than the Superman cartoon. It was different than the Superman comic book. It was different, and we knew that. I mean, we knew it was not the same Superman that was on the Superman TV show of the 1950s. It was different from the 1950s one. And so I understood that that's how the He-Man was going to be. It wasn't the same. It wasn't even going to be close to the same. Maybe I'm simply entertained, but to me it was enough like it that I was okay with that.
Okay, I'm back.
I was just saying that back then, a lot of it had to do with budgets and special effects that could not be done, but
yeah,
we knew that when there was a movie of Superman, it was going to be different than the cartoon or the comic book. And
yeah,
when there, same with Batman and all that, and it was part of the, I guess you'd call it charm, but we accepted it, and we knew that's what it was going to be. It was going to be different. It was, well, still that way to a point.
Yeah.
That what you can get away with in the cartoon isn't the same as you can get away with in the movie or other things. There's lots of different... I guess it's kind of fun that they have all the universes together now sometimes, and sometimes I think it's a little overdone, where they're like, all these different, what they like to call multiverses and all that.
Yeah.
It gets a little old to me.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. Oh, speaking of Dolph Lundgren,
like,
okay, so he's got a degree in chemical engineering, received a Fulbright scholarship, and was
Robbins,
highly accomplished martial artist. I think we mentioned all that before.
There's Courtney.
There, yep.
She's young.
She was
24.
I think 21 when they were making this.
She's young.
Because I was listening. Pop Culture Pastors just did that. Of course, they hate this movie.
I like it.
Well, no, I think it was kind of mixed because one of them is old enough, he's a Gen X, and the other's a millennial that was born in like 89 or whatever. And so they end up having a difference because you have, and I can't remember which one of them didn't like it and the other one who did. And one of them mentioned that their son really loved it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
but I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was going to say, I also like this Robbie's thing because it's kind of like a generic, you can see it being real.
Chicken.
You can see it being real, you know? I mean,
yes.
You really could. Like, it was in a small town. You could definitely see this.
Yeah. But that's one thing I liked about, and I was super excited finding out Dolph was playing He-Man after having seen Rocky IV.
Oh, me too.
And how big and imposing he was. I was like, oh, he's so perfect.
Yeah. So. But he was also so good at being the villain that it was almost hard to imagine him being the hero.
Well, and he had to redub his lines because he still had such a heavy Swedish accent that he couldn't quite say it very well, and they couldn't understand him on set. So he went and redubbed the lines, and he redubbed and redubbed until Gary Goddard apparently was happy and could understand everything he was saying. His English is very good now.
Yeah.
But it's also like Christopher Lambert. He didn't even know English when he was filming Highlander.
I remember.
And so his performance is really kind of challenged. He's managed to pull it off.
I never even noticed this before till now, but that her jacket is made out of jeans. I mean, I knew it was a jean jacket, but I didn't realize
people used to actually do that. You take your old jeans and make a jacket.
Because look
and
at it. It's got a little leather thing on the top.
Yeah.
Like the back part of your old
made
jeans.
Made the collar.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah, man. 80s.
Yeah, I love it. Good stuff. Not everything in the 80s is good. I watched a couple of movies recently that were kind of like, but
you own a couple of movies that are good.
Oh, man, they're cringe. but it's almost, I don't know if I should say good cringe, but we'll say good cringe.
I love the look at the place because it's
too.
Such a small town looking little diner
it.
Place.
I know someone like
you can
that.
Get good food at places like that, you know.
It was always heartbreaking to me was this situation here where she lost her parents just recently, like a year before or so. There was more to it originally, and I don't remember if it was in a book or maybe it was the comic book because I have the comic book of this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my sister found it for me. Again, I'll go back to my sister. But she found it for me once, and it is the... Now, I'll just tell you. In that, it looks like the comic book and the cartoon version, in a sense.
Oh.
But it's in the comic book style, which is cool.
Yeah.
You know, but it's kind of nice, too, because it's a combination of both.
Yeah, that would be nice. Frank Langella, though, actually loves this role.
Yeah,
and he's really actually he's spoken of children's reacting to Skeletor and of being very, very rewarding for him. So it's been very
this
worth
day,
it to this day.
For years, I've heard him defend it, and he should. He did a good job. I always love that. He's barely picks up the chicken.
Okay, it looks like the only notes I have left that I've collected are going to be for the end of the film.
I just love it.
I love it. It's like got all this barbecue sauce in his beard as he's sitting there eating this.
And I love
this. The funny thing is, like, you find out, like, they're eating meat?
Yeah, this is so
How
great.
How primitive, you know?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite lines.
Yeah, the vegans must love this.
Tila cracks me up for this because she doesn't know. It's hilarious. Yep. This part here.
They're eating an animal. And good old Duncan, he's like, I don't care. What? Oh.
Okay.
So now Philip's going to mute himself as he goes to move his van. We're having some issues with our getting one last thing fixed up on the car. And so I'll be sitting here watching the movie and talking to you, kind of like Philip kind of got stuck here. You can leave that attached as long as you turn that off. Well, unless it's a trouble for driving. Now, I always find it very, very weird, though, that
part's sad.
I don't know why. This is a movie kind of aimed at kids, although they take the source material very seriously, maybe more seriously than they should have. But why does Tila's armor, whatever thing, have the thing up the crack of her butt like she's got a thong over her thing? I always thought that was weird. For a movie that's kind of like they knew the kids were going to watch, like, why are they highlighting Tila's backside? Seems weird, but that's just me. I always thought it was kind of an awkward thing. There is one little awkward line that she has that I mentioned on Retro Rewind, which is coming up in a later part where I never liked the part where she deadpan looks at the camera and says, "Woman at arms." I don't know why. It's just like, it breaks, you know, breaking the fourth wall in this just didn't make any sense. And having her break the illusion, and especially considering that she looks like she doesn't know how to hold that gun, and she looks very awkward firing her little blaster the entire time, I think. And so it's just like, yeah, you're not really quite living up to it. So she's, to me, the weakest performance in this film. And I don't know if she did anything after this. I don't know if the guy who played Man-at-Arms did anything after this. I'm not sure. I love the way that when they find this, they think it's a Japanese synthesizer, because everything was made in Japan back in the 80s, man. We got all kinds of stuff from Japan. A lot of the technology continued on, I think, even through the 90s even. Yeah, this is one of those new Japanese synthesizers. Yeah, it's a synthesizer, but it doesn't even resemble a keyboard. I mean, it has keys that play different tones, but, I mean, it doesn't have, like, a keyboard at all that you would recognize to play music on. Yeah, it's kids messing around. I love the marble look of the Grayskull flooring. And I wonder, like, these symbols, like this language that's on the throne, I wonder if it's supposed to have a meaning. And it's interesting that he doesn't really have minions, he has mercenaries. I think Jared Leto definitely took a look at what Frank Langella did in his performance as Skeletor, and it is a good sample of how to do this. There is a nice little tie-in to in the new film that Adam is actually on a date with a lady named Julie, which is a tribute to Courtney Cox's character of Julie in this. But it's so ridiculous that he thinks this thing is some sort of, like, synthesizer when it doesn't have, like, a proper piano keyboard. It's just got buttons. So it is the biggest stretch of seeing, like, oh, no, it's supposed to be a Japanese synthesizer, which I was already saying before, but now Philip has walked back into the room, so I'm saying it again. Well, yeah. Now, what's interesting is that whenever it's lighting up and spinning, you don't see the bottom of it, because I bet they actually hooked it up to some power, kind of like they would do sometimes with the wands on the Harry Potter movies when it would light up the end. It was actually, you wouldn't see that they would actually had a wire where it was, you know, electrical power running into it to cause it to do the thing.
Well, I imagine, too, back then, people were easier to fool. We didn't have internet.
Yeah.
You couldn't look and see what was going on in Japan. You could just assume, okay. I'm not talking about the character. I'm talking about us, the audience.
And as I was just saying, like, in this one, he doesn't have minions. He just hires mercenaries.
Yeah.
Which, technically, Triclops is supposed to be a mercenary.
Yeah, he is. He's like a bounty hunter type.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
Yeah. Sauron.
Sauron. That's the other one.
With a D.
Yeah.
Sauron.
Sauron, yeah.
And at least we got Beastman.
Yeah.
Of course, it's weird, like, Karg was already there getting Gwildor, so it was like they act like he's a new thing.
Well, maybe they got him back again, who knows?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got another, you know, earn another paycheck, Karg.
At least they let you know who he is.
And the nice thing about his troopers, though, is you could just assume they're robots.
Yeah, that's...
Because, like, in the cartoon...
That's why they got away with it.
Yeah, because I think even here when he hits them, they spark and stuff.
Yeah.
You kind of like it. You kind of get that a little bit in the newer one, you know?
Yeah. And the old one,
get the idea that they might
and I'm
not
talking
be.
About the 80s.
Yeah,
you had to do that. Even in, and that's why they made the bats.
Otherwise,
in G.I. Joe
get a PG-13.
Yeah, and,
for one thing
on
in a movie.
G.I. Joe, they had to make the bats for that reason.
Yeah,
because
so you have some robots to smash.
Yeah, because otherwise everybody jumped out of the plane when all 500 G.I. Joe people hit the all 500 cobras in an airplane.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time,
boom. That was one of the rules. And if a plane explodes, you had to see them parachute out.
Yeah.
No one could die. Although occasionally somebody would get shot, you know,
yeah,
but they wouldn't die.
No.
And then you get to the movies, and suddenly they can kill off somebody.
Yeah, I'm glad
like Optimus Prime and Duke.
But they didn't kill Duke. They end up keeping him, which is good.
Well, not in Japan they didn't.
No,
they kept
Japan.
Him dead. But in America, they were like, no, we had an Optimus Prime incident. We cannot kill Duke.
Yeah, which I'm glad.
You just never saw him again. But they talked about him like,
Falcon was annoying. The way they did him
Falco?
Was annoying. Falcon was annoying. The way they did Falcon in the G.I. Joe was annoying.
Falcon.
Yeah, that was his brother, his half-brother, or step-brother, however it was. Falcon.
I kind of remember. It's been a while since I watched the J.J. movie.
They had like Mark Harmon, I think, did the voice.
Huh.
Or maybe it wasn't Mark Harmon. Maybe it was the other guy, Don Johnson. I don't remember which one.
Yeah.
One of them. I think it was Don Johnson. Anyway, one of them did the voice, at least in the movie. I don't think
I love the way when they come through the portal, they each get to do their little pose off like entrance thing.
Like a wrestler.
It's still got a bit of a level of cheese, but it feels like this. Yeah, it's funny. It's like she's first name basis with the janitor.
Yeah.
But this movie, they really took it almost a little too seriously, but people are complaining that this new movie doesn't take it seriously enough. It's like, look, the whole concept is kind of silly and choice. You can have some fun with it.
You can see it's got the Pepsi thing, and they have in the background, there's a lot of Pepsi.
Yeah.
And very smart. And they had the Burger King, because Burger King had stuff for
sponsors.
It. Yeah. You have to have sponsors.
Yeah. Burger King had like an entire meal thing. Like these weird, ugly monster people are suddenly coming and shooting at me.
But Bill did a good job. Bill Conti did a good job with the music.
Yeah.
By the way, there was going to be a sequel.
Yeah.
We're
going to talk about that at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I'll shut up. Well, yeah. I made myself watch the film that they made with that script. Not a good movie.
Yeah, it's a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie that they used from the script.
Yeah, not good.
It's a cosmic something.
Cyborg something.
Cyborg.
Yeah,
cyborg.
It's not good.
I was actually just hearing about that this week.
Yeah, I watched it, but it would have been different, but still not good. I'm just not going to lie to you. It's not good. Of course, I mean, it's not great. I'm sure it would have been a lot different. This part was cool.
Beastman's kind of snarl sounds weird, too.
Bill Conti's
kind of got a Shredder thing going on the shoulder pads there.
Bill Conti's music is what really helped this movie out quite a bit.
Especially when he's trying to emulate John Williams.
Yeah,
so
well, yeah.
John Williams has saved a few movies.
Well, we're talking about Bill Conti, who made Rocky run and fight. And, I mean, Bill...
I don't fly now.
And also, it was Falcon Crest, I think. Mm. He did a lot of good stuff.
Now, she's just been chased by weird monsters and a weird blade guy. How is she not freaked out when she first sees He-Man?
Well, he does look good for a man, you know.
But, you know, he's still dressed weird like Blade
is. Yeah, he is. He is true. A bit, at least. I think she does get scared at first until he starts telling her to calm down.
Yeah, but you think she would have run away.
I
can remember, like, when she's going to run into him, what's going to happen here. Let's see here.
She hides at first, if I remember right. Oh, no, she did.
Oh, no, she didn't see until she turned her head. And then she's get away from me. Okay, so it makes some sense.
I won't hurt you.
I won't hurt you. What do you want to think from? I'll take care of it.
Does the best he can. That's what he had.
Yeah.
Dolph is a lot of fun.
With his limited English and everything. He was so perfect for this, though.
He's a good guy. In real life, he's a really good guy.
Yep.
I like his shoulder pads, too. And the cape.
The armor.
You know, the cape.
Yeah.
He said it was kind of embarrassing. You have to just kind of go with it, because he said he's basically wearing a underwear.
Yeah.
And he said it was very embarrassing, but you just have to go with it and accept it.
Yeah. I've seen some behind the scenes footage where, you know, because you want to keep everything flexed.
He
would sit there pumping some iron. Oh, hi, kitty cat. I have a kitty just jumped on my lap.
Yeah. And I learned about some of that a few months back.
She's food begging, of course, because
that's her job.
Time. Yep. It's an hour and a half away from dinner time, so she's got to start her whole thing.
Her parade.
Yeah.
I kind of like her helmets.
There's the sparks. Like when he hits one with a sword. Or blast one, sparks. So they're robots. They even have the weird, like, red, like Cylons in Battlestar Galactica almost.
They almost have a Darth Vader meets Cylon look.
Yeah. Yeah, for somebody who's never fired a gun probably in her life, she actually managed to hit her target in one shot. That's impressive.
She's better than a stormtrooper.
Yeah. One thing, though, that they did kind of limit is He-Man doesn't seem like he's this super strength, super powered kind of guy. He just seems like this great warrior in this. I remember they
love
that
line
in the trailer.
That was even on commercials.
I bet you have.
They've been waiting on this commercial, even for toys and for everything. It was a lot. That's a good line.
Yeah.
Every time I hear anyone say it, I always think of
Star Wars.
Oh, it was.
It was.
It was. I like his little mouthpiece that has the blades coming up near his ear.
Yeah.
That's cool looking.
I can't help it when Sauron pops his claws out like that's a lot like a Nuclear Man in Superman 4 when he pops
same
out,
here.
You know.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same people.
And doesn't that end up being a thing? If he's, you know what? I guess he's dead by the time she gets wounded in the leg. It's not for him, from his claws, but for something else, I guess.
Oh, I know.
Skeletor
what
hits her in the leg with something later.
She
yeah
has pizza on her.
Do you understand? I don't know if you speak the same language necessarily that I do.
Yes.
Because on my planet, we speak English as well. Even though they got this weird language on the back of the throne that Skeletor's sitting on, I was just discussing all these symbols are probably, I wonder what it's supposed to say in whatever language in Eternia.
It just so happens
like
to be
Wars,
English.
Galactic Basic sounds like English, but it's completely different letters. You know, little Jimi Hendrix in here. Hopefully that doesn't get us too much of a copyright thing.
When he kisses this guy.
Yeah. Well, he's kissing the
sky. I know, but people always think it's what it's saying.
It may be June, but we don't need that.
No.
And he is
there is
a
no
little
Prince
funny
Adam
with that
in this
hat.
There is no Prince Adam in this.
Oy vey. Oy vey.
I do like this, though.
That is a pretty neat little effect thing that they managed to do and superimpose and stuff
on
there.
Yeah, they did a good job.
I mean, I'm sure they did a lot of different light prism things. They filmed in a room and filmed the lights again and over, and then they put it over as a superimposed in the
far
print.
Far out, man.
Very cool.
Hang on, Charlie.
Yeah. And who would have thought you'd find a synthesizer in a graveyard and just decide to take it? they're very strange. None of this stuff with the kids make a lot of sense.
Well,
how do you think that that's
canon.
A synthesizer?
It's canon. I mean,
and then,
I like
of course,
the canon
you find
movies.
It in a graveyard, and like, oh.
Canon movies are corny, but I like them.
Yeah. And especially when you find it, it obviously looks like it's something that crashed into the ground, because it looks like a meteorite crash. But
I watched
what,
a lot of canon movies. I watched a lot of canon movies in the last few months, and they're dopey, but kind of fun, most of them. Not all, some are pretty bad. Some are so bad, I can't even finish them.
Yeah.
But
Cobra
was... Do you know they're making a sequel?
No.
They're working
are
on...
Are you kidding?
Stallone and Schwarzenegger and a couple others are working hard to get a sequel out to some of their stuff.
Oh,
because
no.
The one I'm really excited about more than any is Conan, the King Conan.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about that. Of course, that's not canon.
Yeah.
But there's... But the one that was canon, it won't be now, is Cobra. They're working on that and a couple Stallone ones they're talking about. The one that was Stallone, and it won't be, but it'll be a prequel to Rambo, to the Rambo film.
Yeah, I heard about that, but you can't
no,
replace Stallone in that. But I guess they're going
but
back to Vietnam.
It'll be good because it'll be
maybe.
Vietnam. What I mean is it's good because you can't have him come back in that sense, but
yeah,
this young man has really been studying. We'll see how he does.
We'll
he
see.
He looks pretty
but
good
I'm
as far
like,
as
I don't know.
As that he looks like he could be the role.
Feels like they're trying to milk the franchise.
Well, yeah,
I don't know. Kind of, I was like, I've never seen Delta Force or Delta Force 2, but Delta Force 2 is literally a prequel. They go back to Vietnam, and Chuck Norris looks like he's a little older
oh, no,
than
you're,
he was
you're,
the first one.
You're
supposed
thinking
younger.
Of not Delta Force. Missing in Action.
Missing in Action. Yeah,
I've seen most of those.
The great James Tolkien.
Oh, he's
Slacker.
Great. He was so good. And remember Top Gun. He basically plays the same
character. Yeah,
he's a character actor. Yeah.
No, not a character actor, a character type. Character
okay.
actor is somebody who completely alters and embodies herself. Like
okay.
Frank Langella is doing here. He's completely embodying a very different person.
So
but a character type is where you get a particular actor because they have a certain, like John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, you get...
The character type, like the guy from Groundhog Day who played Ned Ryerson.
Steve Tobolowsky. Yes, he's so great.
The funny thing is they were looking for, I don't remember which role it was, but they were trying to get him, a type like him, and then he didn't get the role. How weird.
Yeah, sort of like when they have a lookalike contest and the actual actor will get in there to be and they lose to somebody else.
How weird.
And they're like, you realize I really am Dolly Parton? Because Dolly Parton has talked about that. She lost the lookalike contest to herself.
How bizarre.
But that's kind of cheating when you actually are the person they're trying to
look like. Of course, I will
so.
Say this. They probably are wanting her before all the plastic surgeries. I'm not trying to be cruel. Another one is, to be honest, Courtney.
Courtney, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to be cruel, okay? I'm really not.
You're not trying to be cruel, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be.
I do appreciate that she goes to try to shake their hands and they don't know what she's doing at first. They're like, what? You can't, it's like a little subtle thing, but you kind of see it.
I do like this car.
Oh, yeah,
Gildor that's a cool car.
And even the sound effect sounds like Luke Skywalker's
speeder. It does. Speaking of which, sound effects, I did like in the new Star Wars film, I like that they used the Jetson sound effects for the little speeding thing. That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to take that vehicle very seriously, which is why.
Yeah. Well, where did
there's
he find
that,
the parts to make this thing? I don't know.
There is that language again. Writing.
But, like, where did Gwildor find these parts?
I don't know.
Because
yeah.
it's not like he brought them with him, did he? I mean...
No, but I think he's supposed to be a genius.
Well, yeah, but still, he's, you know, very strange.
You know, I recognize some of this stuff that they have on the walls of in Egypt. Of course,
I bet it was, yeah, because it's very hieroglyphic.
Yeah, that's
so
it.
I bet it was definitely some inspiration.
I'm sure
they had an idea of what it was supposed to say.
Because I only have an idea of that because the recent studies I've done of some of the Egyptian, you know, false gods and such.
See, in this, he seems a lot more friendly to Evil Lynn in this compared to, like, the new movie.
Well,
where he's constantly, his touch is, he's burning her.
It's because probably because he's trying to get stuff from her. he does do that. Goes back and forth between, like, when he wants something.
Yeah. I think this is the movie that sort of introduced the idea that he and Evil Lynn might have a weird kind of relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Because the cartoon never shows anything like that.
Yeah.
But suddenly you have scenes like that where he's just kind of massaging
on her. The comic book would go back and forth.
Yeah.
It's the same thing they did with the G.I. Joe. They would have back and forth in stories that you could not get in the cartoons.
Mm. Yeah, three to a bunch.
This part was what I thought was really funny, that she reads it.
You would think he would nuke Karg.
Yeah. Oh, I like this weird stuff that's attached to his face. I don't know if he's a little bit of a bionic.
Yeah, it's part of that helmet that he's wearing.
Oh, maybe you're right, yeah.
But they did a good job of very lizard-like to have and how his throat's moving and he's breathing.
Yeah, he's spooky.
They did such a good job. And that's the one, the coolest one of his mercenaries gets toasted.
But you see that Skeletor does have magic.
Yeah, and he's not afraid to kill people who fail him.
No, he will do it.
But this is so perfect, because Beastman would, of course, be the one on his knees. And
yeah,
like, oh.
He does that, yeah.
Yeah, that's totally Beastman. He's this big, horrible, monstrous beast, and he's powerful and strong, but yet he is just on his knees in front of
Skeletor.
I do
like he has the claw stuff coming up off of his, like the, looks like the little claws or teeth or whatever is supposed to be coming up off his shoulders.
Because
he does have that, you know.
Yeah.
See, he's not nice to her.
He's just volunteered.
He still treats her badly.
Not entirely bad, but he trusts her to do things,
that's true.
I think, you know.
She is spooky.
It needs somebody intelligent to go with these morons.
He's spooky, too.
That beastly boob that hits over there.
Of course. I like how he puts his hand up.
Yeah, kind of like,
sure.
Good journey.
Yeah, good journey. You can see a little bit of the fall coming in, depending on what kind of tree that is, I guess.
But the funny thing, there's a sign out front that the house is sold, and you're like, they're going looking for her here. But I guess she's leaving officially tomorrow, it's supposed to be. But, you know, you would think that there would be a lot more boxes or something, the house packed and everything, but it seems like the house is still all furnished or something. I don't know. Oh, no, there
are
boxes
some,
over here. Okay.
Don't
but
worry.
There's a lot of unpacked
There'll
stuff.
There'll be some Burger King stuff out here in a minute.
Yeah, it's being so subtle.
Well, it's trying to sell it to the kids, and I like it. Mm-hmm.
There's some really weird people who want that thing, Kevin.
Kevin!
Just asking, Kevin, are you home alone?
Yeah. He's so cool.
But, like, the fridge is stocked, you got all this trash, and it's like, it doesn't seem like you're ready to move, like, the very next day, you know. What is this thing, a bomb?
He's so great. Yeah.
Especially even the way he's not even delicately, he's just, like, all finger-handing it.
There we go.
Well, he's got that part right, but he's probably thinking, you're going to say, you got some sort of weird bomb here. And, yeah, the little skiff looks totally like something out of Star Wars.
Yeah, it does. I like it.
Yeah.
It looks like something you'd had at Jabba's Palace almost.
Yes, exactly. It looks like a miniature version of Jabba's skiff. Now, what was it? You were sharing something that Meg Foster was in, like Quantum Leap?
She's been in lots of things, but there's a Quantum Leap episode.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say episode. It's three episodes in a row, and I love it. Now, I didn't see it till 1994, and I think it was on in 92, 93. I can't remember what season. I won't say season five. There was five seasons. Maybe season four. But it was really great. There was three episodes in a row. And I can't remember what they're called, but the episodes. But in the first episode, he becomes a... I don't remember if it's a family doctor or whatever it is. But there's this little bitty girl, this young girl. And she's, well, I don't know, let's say 10. Or maybe he's a sheriff. And he's... Oh, you know what? I think he's a sheriff. And he's the dad to this little girl. And his wife is Meg Foster.
Huh.
Then in the next one, he's the boyfriend to this girl. And so he loves her in the first one as the dad. In the second one, he loves her as the boyfriend. And then in the next one, he's the lawyer who you saw in the first two episodes. But now he's an old man. He's the old lawyer trying to protect that girl who's now a grown adult. And Meg Foster, he visits again. But now she's a crazy old woman.
Huh.
But it's really good. Because you now get to see three sets of life in this young girl. And it's in the South, like, let's say Alabama, Tennessee. Yeah. I don't remember which. But it's really well done. It's they would do that. And then in the last season, they'd even do stuff to where they kind of, I guess you could say, broke their own rules. Because he's supposed to be in his own lifetime from the 1950s to beyond. But he went back into the Civil War because they found that if he was in his own bloodline, he could go back then.
But they did give him more options of stuff to do. So
yeah, they even had one, I think it was the last season, because it was 93. And what happened was he went into the body of, I can't think of his name, all of a sudden, the guy who killed JFK. Mm. And he went into that body and had to go through it. But anyway, it's a long story. Yeah. You'll see.
Weird twist.
I'm not even going to tell you what happens, but it's
something
else.
Chased that rabbit way far away from the film.
Oh, yeah. Back to this.
Back to this.
But Meg Foster does play another role, too. In fact, there was an old live-action version from 1980 that had a
live-action version of what?
That's what I'm going to tell you. It's called, I think it's just called Ichabod, or maybe it was called Legend of Sabalo.
Is that the one
with Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah.
And she plays, Isabel. Or not Isabel.
Katrina?
Katrina.
Because I can see her being Katrina.
Yeah, she played Katrina.
Time.
Be, yeah, she did.
Even younger.
And, I'm trying to think of the name of the football player who was on so many things back then.
Was it the guy who's the father in Webster who has played Mongo in Blazing Saddles?
No, but he's a lot like him. He was on a lot of stuff. Anyway, he plays Brom Bones.
Big football player guy.
Got that mustache. He's on just about everything. Was on Coach a couple times.
I feel like I can picture who you're talking about. Had dark hair.
Yeah, brown hair.
Yeah.
He was even on the old movie where the guy was in prison. Well, Burt Reynolds, you know. And they had to play football in prison. You know,
Well, that's the one that they remade with Adam Sandler later, right?
It was okay, but I like the original.
I forgot
better.
What the movie's called.
You know what I'm talking about. Either way, that guy plays Brom Bones. But Meg Foster is in there, and her eyes are kind of spooky in there, too. Especially when you're in the dark. And
her eyes just have this glow almost.
What she does here in a moment is spooky. This part was always kind of spooky, too.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
It's just one of the coolest. Like
the lights coming
swords,
up.
Swords and sorcery, and then technology. That's always kind of what made the universe kind of cool.
And the three things.
Star Wars kind of the same
Star
thing.
Star Wars, what they're trying to do is get Star Wars, Conan, and the other thing was, and I mentioned this to you before, they had already started to make New Gods toy line.
Oh, yeah.
But what happened was they went with another toy line, and so therefore they took what they'd already designed, and that was the little vehicles. They took those vehicles and put it and made it to where it would fit with these new figures.
With the new He-Man figures, yep.
So we can think all of it. So you can thank Jack Kirby in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Big Jim for giving us Battle Cat.
That's right. Big Jim. And Sauron, or whatever
her
name was.
Stairs she's got. Oh, my goodness.
What was the name? Sor? The name of the eagle?
Oh, that the sorcerer. They changed it to where the sorcerer turned into it.
Yeah.
Now my brain. It is something like that.
Sor. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
That toy, at the exact same time when that toy had come out, and I saw it at the store.
Yeah, that bird was for
my father.
Too.
Got me one at the garage sale, and it was Big Jim.
Zoar. Yeah.
It was a Big Jim figure of just regular brown eagle with white head, you know, the same one.
Yeah.
And he found me the tiger of
the
Battle
Big Jim
Cat.
Tiger?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I had him for a while.
Oh, my goodness.
Big Jim had a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They were very much like G.I. Joe. Even had the little fuzzy hair sometimes. Not always. They had like a safari type for time of Big Jim, which is just like the G.I. Joe's. I mean, let's be honest.
It's funny, it's like the car sounds like your car now and doesn't sound like the sand speeder anymore.
Oh, you can see the little shadow.
Yeah. You're late.
Now you hear it.
Yeah. Well, of course, you still have tires on it, so you can skid tires on the pavement.
I'll tell you what,
and somehow or another, driving up, they didn't see the thing flying away from them.
Yeah.
But I guess they do need to check on Kevin. Can't help it when you yell Kevin.
I know.
My brain goes home alone. Kevin!
He is home alone.
Yeah, he was home alone at her home.
Yeah.
But they are utilizing, though, like, he's got to tell the truth when he's wearing it, so.
Have you slept with other women?
My goodness.
Do you have another girlfriend?
This is a family show.
I'm just teasing. No, the truth is, they're talking about the lie detector. It was really what it is, a lie detector. That's strong language for a family film, really.
Well, compared
back
to
then,
like the new one, it's got a lot of language,
Yeah, back then, though, it was. I do like his jacket.
I love this. Bill, I'm thinking he's in disguise.
I used to see glasses like that.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
That is a funny
I saw line. A thing, like, Honest Trailers or something. I can't remember what it was. So it was like, Gwildor thinking he's in disguise. No one will recognize us. Well, what is that? See, look, it works.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, that's a relationship if there ever has been.
Yeah. Well, because Kevin's still completely freaked out because all the stuff that happened to him.
I kind of like that little dome part in the back.
Yeah.
If I remember right,
It looks like the weird fan when you get the other side of it.
It does.
It is funny that you got a Korg keyboard over there.
Yeah.
Or at least a sticker for Korg when you got a character named Karg.
Yeah, I remember my brother when he
saw
this.
Sorry, Charlie, your music store is about to get nuked.
When my brother saw this, he's like, oh, they're destroying all these instruments, man.
Well, they already toasted Kevin's instruments.
Well, yeah, but I don't think he's seen it yet. He's quick, man. Yeah. Toys, really toys. I love that.
Yeah. But he's quick to pull a gun, though,
yeah,
for a
cop. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, nobody's gone for a weapon, but he did.
Dirty Harry. Of course, they do have weapons on them.
Yeah, but they haven't pulled one.
No, I know. Now they have. Yeah. He's great.
Like, yeah, you have no idea how much trouble they're actually in because Skeletor's people are coming.
I really wish they would make a He-Man size figure of him.
Yeah.
Ludwig or Lubick?
Lubick, yeah. Lubick. Yeah. That would be so cool.
I love him.
We need a figure of him.
I know they did make one. Or at least someone did, but they need to make two. One in his outfit now, one of his outfit at the end.
On Eternia, yes.
He's his outfit, great.
Like, this is the greatest retirement ever, you know?
So great. Yeah, there's that fan.
Yeah.
Man, you throw someone in that and...
It looks like a fan, but it's kind of weirdly curved and you never see it. So it's hard to tell what the heck that's supposed to be. Like,
maybe it's supposed to, if it was a fan, push and... I don't know.
I guess it's not like you can blow air behind it.
I don't know.
It's just like there to make it look weird. It's got to look alien, you know?
Whoever designed it, though, did do a good job.
Yeah, I mean, they did some wild stuff here.
That's what's so cool about, I'm talking about back then especially, what was so cool is about being from another world, it's basically your imagination.
Yeah.
You just have to say, well, they got stuff beyond us. That's why people can always say...
Beyond us!
And they always like, they're aliens. Aliens know more than us. They always say that, if you believe in that kind of thing. I personally don't, but many people do.
They must have more technology than us.
Which we only make
the assumption, because if they were to visit here, they'd have to have more technology than us.
And people always believe this because we think of ourselves as being not so smart.
Yeah.
Not too smart. And them, brilliant.
Well, you know, looking at humanity, not too smart, kind of fits.
Yeah.
Kind of dumb.
Not brilliant.
Sheep in need of a shepherd.
That's exactly right.
So we have a good shepherd.
That's exactly right. If you're looking...
Who will leave the 99 for just one of us.
Ooh. That's exactly right.
And we're coming up on the worst part of this movie. And I was commenting this on while you're out in your van. The actress playing Tila looks so awkward holding her pistol. And then she gets the deadpan to the camera for some dumb reason and break the fourth wall that just completely unimmersive.
I've seen her in other things, too. Some were straight to TV, some not.
Yeah. I'd be faster if you'd quit interrupting me. But there's times when she's shooting it, she looks like weird, like all, you know, clenched in, like she didn't know what to do with that thing.
That's very Duncan. That's very Duncan.
Very Duncan. Poster of the Kinks over there.
This guy's little visor with just the little yellow. I don't think that could really protect your eyes much, but okay.
Well, it's, you know, for the light of a blaster, it doesn't
it
makes it easier on your eyes, I guess, right? And I bet he can do some tech things with that visor that he could look and see things, kind of like the thing that Evelyn had earlier, where she could see what had happened like an hour before. Yeah, you know, it could have all kinds of different functions.
She's got almost
her weird headpiece. Like, what is the moral? Does that look like it's got a reverse visor on it? Oh my goodness.
She's almost got a Star Trek symbol on her chest.
Yeah. But see, she looks so stupid when she holds her pistol, like she doesn't know what she's doing with it. And then I hate that so much. It's the worst part of the movie.
It doesn't bother me.
She looks so bad holding the pistol and then gets a line where she's supposed to say, cool, woman at arms. Well, and gets to look at the camera.
You have to blame the director, not her.
I blame the script writer who wrote that. It's so bad.
All right, Corgan.
But she doesn't look like somebody who's comfortable with a pistol at all. Which is a weird thing for a cop to say, because really the judge is the one who decides if you get put away, not the cop.
Well, they're going for a Dirty Harry thing.
Yeah. Which is one of the things, like, people who want to argue with cops about whether or not they did it. Look, the cop is just supposed to bring you for the judge. The judge is the one who's going to determine whether you've actually done something wrong. The cop just needs to bring you and some evidence. But people will try to argue their case with them. Like, the cop's not the one who's going to make that final decision. The judge is. Hey, the cop's job is just to bring you in and it's public safety. But, like... This is so awkward. Like, how is she falling for this? But I guess
she's
not used to...
Your mind is not quite right when you lose someone like that. And your mind can be manipulated. Just like today.
With all the weird stuff-o-meter stuff going on that she's seeing, why wouldn't she, like, this is very unusual, like all the other unusual stuff I've seen.
Yeah,
so
I would have... Yeah, you would have thought...
You would think that, you know...
You wouldn't be as easy... But I guess if you're emotionally... Which affects your mental.
Yeah. Especially when she says, now bring me that cosmic key.
Yeah, you'd have to be like, heck out of
what?
Dodge.
My mother didn't know anything about this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, how dumb do you have to be? But they had to move the plot along.
Well, they did. And if you're heartbroken, and you'll manipulate yourself even to believe something. I've done that, unfortunately.
Convince yourself that, this really is my mother.
Toctums.
Whatever that's supposed to be.
I don't know what a toctum is, but you must be pretty bad.
Yeah, that's the thing. What's the matter with you is exactly the right thing to say, dude.
Yeah, you talked them.
You talked to who? Because she didn't even say, oh, they're alive. What's the matter with you? And she just runs off with it. So the actress does a really good job of getting that Meg Foster evil in face.
Yeah, she is. She's very spooky.
And of course, it's typical of the 1980s scream, is you must grab your hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, like, she's done now twice.
Very much
movie.
Like something you've seen on Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah. Nightmare Before Elm Street.
Or Nightmare on Elm Street or something like that. The hair grabbing scream of the 80s.
Yeah, you got to.
I wonder if anybody's ever grabbed their hair when they screamed like that.
Oh, probably, but...
Probably. Somebody, in the history of the world, somebody probably has.
Especially if you're grabbing at your head, like, I don't believe that, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's so funny, you make the motion to grab it when your hair is, like, gone.
Yeah, I got no hair.
You got no hair to grab.
I remember
I guess she didn't realize the existence of evil in and having magical powers.
Yeah, she didn't know all that, yeah.
But still, why would you think that's really your mother? When she suddenly asked, oh, that shiny thing, I need that. Like, what?
In a spiritual sense, there have been people, especially those who don't know the Lord, but even some who did, where people have been attacked spiritually, where, because I actually know a couple, but where Satan has tried to convince them that their families try to get a hold of them, like their spirit has.
Yeah.
And a lot of that involves with depression
and
other things, because they say, if I could only talk to him one more time, you know, here's the truth. If you could only talk to him one more time, it wouldn't be enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that. It would never be enough.
It'd be like a can of Pringles.
Yeah. It's never enough. Mm-hmm. And if they knew the Lord and you know the Lord, you will see them again. It's just that we're impatient, and that's understandable.
Right. Yeah.
And it takes a long time to get back. I'm just trying to tell someone today, they are mocking, you know, AJ.
Now he wants backup. After all that,
you know
now
who
he
AJ Lee
backup,
is. But... Someone's mocking her for having depression.
And I'm
like, don't ever mock someone from depression.
Yeah.
You don't know what it's like, and you don't want to know what it's like.
Yeah.
Just pray for a person. That's all you can do, ever.
Yeah.
And I respect her husband and those who are with her and protect. We need to always pray for people who have issues, no matter what it is. That's why, and even though I didn't know at the time, except that my father had, at that time, had just gone through all the heart stuff, it really affected me when watching this at 11, and I saw she lost her mom and dad. That really hit me hard, because I almost lost my dad at that point.
Yeah.
I was very scared of it.
Yeah. It took him all that time to get it started up in Evil Inn, a couple presses. Boom, here's the portal to Eternia.
Yeah, well, moved the story along, like you said.
Yep.
But
how
I
did Evil Inn learn how to use the thing?
Yeah. I do like in the Netflix story that you have Orko and Gwildor kind of going at it, fighting.
This is very Poltergeist, this portal.
It is. Mm-hmm. I never thought about it.
Yeah.
But I was going to say...
With the white flashing.
I kind of like that Gwildor and Orko fight it out for He-Man's affections and who's the better. I do love these little boards right here. Those are cool. That's
Here's
the one.
The one that really looks like Jabba's
skin. It does. It's like the Emperor and Emperor and Jabba were together.
Yeah. Kind of like the way he cradles that cosmic key that he's
got,
too.
He's so good at it.
Yes.
You know, he almost kind of looks, even though this is right around the time of it, it kind of looks like something that Serpentor would have had.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember how he came with that little sled?
Yeah. Sky sled sort of thing.
It's almost exactly like that.
Yeah.
Which was like a year or so before this.
This he commands.
What's that?
This he commands.
That's right.
This I command.
I like those little weapons on the side.
Yeah, the little gun turrets.
Those are nice. Now, that would have been a nice toy for them to have made.
I think they did make a toy, didn't they?
I don't remember it, but it would have been cool.
Yeah. I bet they did. I'd have to look it up, but
at that time, though,
they
were running out of tooling, and as the toy people call it. And money and all. I didn't realize it until recently, in the last couple of years. One of the big mistakes they made was it kept releasing the same figures, bunches of them, and sending, like, oodles of the same old He-Mans and stuff out to the stores, which sending out a few is one thing, but you keep sending out the same figures over and over again, everyone's already got them.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have one of these until...
Oh, sure.
I have more toys as an adult than I ever had as a kid.
Well, it wasn't just He-Man, though. It would make sense. Like, if you sent a box of, let's say... 25 or 30 He-Man figures, and you had two or three of He-Man, or let's just say two of He-Man, two of Skeletor. Well, what they were doing was they were sending five He-Man, five Skeletor, and five Stratos, and all these figures that they sent out in that one box, not one new.
Yeah.
And then on the every few boxes, there'd be one or two new figures. And see,
oh, this is so funny that his sword is literally like falls off. when now, he goes through there. Like, so you can actually see the sword fall off of his back as he turns through the doorway.
There was a figure that came out around this time from the Rambo line of all things that looks very similar to that. It was the same year, by the way.
Yeah.
And if you hit the button on that figure, the Rambo toy, his face would show. But I love this little hoverboard. In fact, I used this when I created the whole owl man thing.
Yeah, you did.
I made it look like an owl type.
Yeah. And I appreciate that they use these in the Netflix Kevin Smith series.
Yes.
And some of, it's kind of cool that some of the shots are actually like they were had a vehicle that he had to balance on.
Yes, he did.
And ride it like that.
Well, you better be careful,
that,
too.
That believability.
I like that one.
Yeah. These shots here, these close-ups, so, you know, they were kind of dangerous to do.
Yeah. Oh, looked like Beastman was about to fall. I love it.
It was so easy for him to be right on target with that grappling hook, too.
Or I'll be angry. I got the figure of her, too, that came out a couple years back, a year ago. And it looks good. It looks like her. And those eyes, even in the toy, I'm like, oh. Yeah.
You'd have to get the eyes right.
Yeah, because that was her strongest feature, man, when it came to her acting and all. I mean, she didn't really have to try.
Yeah. Just has very sky blue, bright eyes like
I've seen her on other things, too, but it's just that she's so good.
Yeah.
Even besides the one that I mentioned, every time I see her, I'm like, oh, there she is. Even in the 70s, she did some things.
Even that guy kind of looks like a cobra bat, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He exploded, too, so he's a robot.
Yeah.
And did explode.
But I will say this. A robot or not, those people move pretty good and quick. Yeah. You know? I like that. Centurion.
Yeah. So he's got different types of stormtroopers. He's got Centurions and he's got troopers.
Well, that makes sense, though.
Yeah. Have a bit of a mixture. And then, of course, he hires mercenaries for the big jobs.
One of the
on Man at Arms' front, he does kind of have the weird thing.
They did that on the new one, too, where, you know, one thing I kind of wanted him to do. I was kind of hoping it would kind of come up at some point, like towards his face, but I do like it. One thing I love they do
very
here
Darth
in a minute.
Vader there to block shot.
You will not live to see another day.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite lines. You will not live to see another day. Such a great delivery.
It's funny how different weapons, that Man at Arms got all kinds of different guns and things on him.
Like 5 minutes of throwing stuff down.
Acting like Gwildor was his friend. I appreciate they mention Snake Mountain, even if you never get to see it.
Willow's on his way.
Yeah. He's going to throw an acorn at you. There's a peck with an acorn.
Point it at me. Which was just a year later.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Not even, actually.
Even though the sword is not accurate, it's still a pretty cool looking sword.
It is a great sword, yeah. Look how serious. I like it.
That look.
I like this music right here. Here we go.
She gets her leg nuked. And, of course, very Star Wars. It's a trap.
They're generic lines, but they're good lines.
Yep.
They work. Here we go. I love this part.
Dun, dun, dun.
He doesn't give up.
Yeah, he uses his martial arts skills a little bit, so where he kicked a guy. But you notice he never actually gets to punch anybody. It's all open hand when somebody gets struck in the face.
I love that music. And yeah, because they're not going to go out without fighting.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this music right here, it sounds very similar to the Bill Conti music that he used in North and South. Which is beautiful, by the way.
Even the throwback his head and laugh a little bit as he thinks he's got him.
Here we go.
Here we go. It's an important thing here. Yeah, there you go. Greater love has no man than this, that to lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. It's coming up
here. That's right.
Yep. He's making the sacrifice.
I say that. I don't want any people to die. Very old Dracula. Very cool.
Yep. So he knows what awaits him. Imprisonment, torture, humiliation, possible death. But yet he chooses to endure the suffering so his friends can escape and continue fighting.
Good journey.
And this is probably the most powerful spiritual moment in the entire film, really.
Yeah, it is.
Other than, I mean, the overall, of course, Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
That's right.
Because, I mean, I do appreciate in the new film, Skeletor says, I'm a demon who wishes to be a god.
But see, that was perfect because the thing is, in the film, and I'm talking about the new one, I get so sick of the new days, nowadays, where they try to make it like the bad guys are really good. We just don't understand them.
We just don't understand them, yeah.
But, okay, so it's corny and cheesy, but
he's a
they
villain
knew
and
they were
it.
Doing He likes being bad. And to be honest with you, most of the time, people know when they're doing wrong. They know right from wrong, and they're doing it because they care more about themselves than others. That's the truth.
Yeah. That's why Heath Ledger's Joker actually worked, because some people just want to watch the world burn. He loved just causing chaos.
But so whatever reason, by the way, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but it is what it is. People a lot of times will try to make it like he really wasn't that bad. Yeah, he was. He knew what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
You're try to manipulate the truth, and you know it.
Yeah.
You just don't want to know that you know it.
I think that's all the spiritual reflections I had on this.
That's good.
Well, other than the corruption of power here, because Skeletor's ultimate goal is to seize the power of Castle Grayskull for himself. Once he obtains it, he becomes consumed by pride and arrogance.
Yes.
And scripture repeatedly warns that power without humility leads to destruction.
That's right.
Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction,
there is
a haughty spirit before a fall.
Mm-hmm. There is quite a few right there in that line of Proverbs, quite a few of them that Solomon puts up there. I mean, Solomon knows. Because sadly, Solomon was one who, by the way, I'm not trying to talk poorly on him. I'm just going to be honest.
Solomon messed up a lot. But he also ushered in the golden age of Israel.
What he did was, there's good and bad a lot. He brought in building up Israel, and at the same time, by
built
doing
temple.
It the way he did it, the way he built it up destroyed it.
Yeah.
Because he built it up by coming together with the ways of the world, the ways of Satan, false gods. Baals, they call them.
Yeah, and the Baals and the Ashtaroths.
I just preached a sermon last Sunday, and one of the pictures I made had a side that said the Baals of the universe, the false gods of the universe, and the other side was the master of the universe, which was about the Lord Jesus.
I still need that,
Photoshop
file.
And but I'm still preaching on that, and it talked about the Egyptian gods, the Roman gods. I got to finish some of it, because in a couple of weeks we're going to talk about some of the Roman gods, the false gods, and some of that. But either way, the whole point is that I found this out. Whenever the Romans brought some of it over, some of the names they had was Baals of the universe, meant masters of the universe.
Yeah.
That's what it meant, Baals of what they worship.
Yeah.
By the way, I love this. You hear this music? It really is being used, right, for the movie. And then suddenly we find out it's supposed to be in the background on the speaker. I thought that was really smoothly done. It's right here. Slick. Joke.
Yeah, it does kind of slowly transition to where you suddenly hear it on that. I mean, it was score, but it became there's a diatric. I forgot the word when the music is actually in the scene.
I thought it was brilliant because we all laughed at the movie.
But it transitions.
Yeah, isn't that brilliant? That was a funny joke.
I don't know if I got the right word. Somebody will correct me.
Her leg, I thought, looked like pizza when they showed it. You know. It was one of those gross things that I kind of like. There are
weird
things like that.
Well,
of
course, you're a man who can eat horseradish.
I love horseradish. But I've had some horseradish are stronger than others, and I've had some horseradish.
I didn't mean for to chase a rabbit off.
No,
on that,
I'm just telling you. No, I'm not chasing a rabbit. I'm chasing radish. I'm chasing the radish. No, I'm telling you, some horseradish is so strong. And that's why I am with certain jalapenos, too. You know what I'd like to take a moment to do?
You can kind of see Billy Barty's actual mouth inside the mouth behind the mask.
And you can a little bit on his forehead. You see where the lines are at a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say, that's partially has to do with our new screens. That
the high definition.
Because in the old days, it wasn't as easy to notice that stuff. That's not to put down the new great stuff. Yeah. I'm just saying, back in the day, it was a little harder to notice with the lighting.
That's a good line. Too.
It is.
There's a lot like me. There's only one
of everybody. Yeah,
there's only one of everybody. That's a good line.
That is a great line.
Yeah.
And I say that concept a lot of times to people that God loves all of us and he wants to use us. And it's true.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Mm-hmm. I quoted that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah.
Not talking about me, but
I'm talking about the actual line. And I quoted right from it.
Yeah.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God does love you.
Yep.
He was speaking to Jeremiah because think what Jeremiah was going through. And he was saying that you're all fearfully and wonderfully made. That poor man went through so much. That's why when I call you Jeremiah, I am being slightly ornery, but in reality, I'm comparing you and giving you a salute to one of the greatest men who was called of God through difficult times.
Yeah.
I do like the outfit that they have on Skeletor. It's it's unique and it had to be uncomfortable. Really, these people.
There's Big Boy.
And they put him in the new... new things,
That was the child that won the contest to get to be in the movie.
That was awesome.
Getting to hold that.
I kind of like this, where he looks over to Sorceress, and he looks upset because he sees that she's sick.
Yeah, slowly dying.
Yeah. I mean, that's uncomfortable for her, too.
Yeah. And that's where I think that she tried to emulate it in the Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
You die.
But she didn't have Frank Shinjella's ability.
Oh, he's great.
To make it work.
He's great. I love the gloves, even.
Oh, the way he delivers this is so good.
He's brilliant.
But being this is my destiny, it's my right. Oh.
She did a good job, too, really.
Yep. That's another
I like that.
Like
that's
too.
Good, too.
Yeah.
I kind of like the crystal look that she has on the hat there. I was going to say, the people that designed this stuff, for what they had and for what little they had to work with,
They did a good job. Yeah, they said that this cost, like, I think they said 16 mil, which isn't a lot compared to what they have, but they said they were going to go to only 2 mil.
Let me pull
on the
back
next
up again.
One, and you know that
I think it was like $22 million.
Oh, maybe you're right.
Yeah, $22 million and earned a $17 million domestically.
They said that the next film was only going to be a $2 million. To you and me, that sounds like a lot. To a movie, that wouldn't have been much. That's barely a sniff.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong about the amount. It might have been six. Still, for a straight to theater, that would have been barely enough. And it would have been on Earth again, probably.
Now, throughout the film, the heroes repeatedly face situations that seem hopeless, yet they continue to persevere. Their determination reflects a biblical principle found throughout Scripture: faithfulness, even when circumstances appear impossible. The heroes don't win because they're stronger than evil at every moment. They win because they refuse to give up. Greater is he who is within me than he is within the world.
1 John 4:4.
There we go.
I'm just quoting it a while ago, actually.
Yeah. The way he would gesture was so cool.
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yep.
Not because of me. I like this
Christ
little whip.
Is the true master of the universe.
One of the toys they brought out of him, a blade, this is from the bigger line from years ago. He came with a whip that was kind of like a green plastic, I mean a red plastic, but it looked good.
Cool.
It looked like it. It was like a clear red. I love this part. Like, come on, you're being overboard. Yeah. He's so funny.
He's so outclassed with everything, the technology, but he's determined to get in there anyway.
I love this. This part here reminds me of what you see in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure when they try to make their little time thing going with the little pudding cans.
All the weird stuff. Yep. The chewing gum.
Yeah, chewing gum. Which was made this year, by the way. They made it in 87, the movie.
Excellent.
Yeah. Excellent.
Pretty close to what I was just
He's
saying.
He's so cute.
Yeah.
I love him. We call it Casio keys.
Yeah. And it literally is a Casio keyboard. Those were all the rage,
man
for homes, having that Casio keyboard. Yeah.
What were the other ones? Yamaha or what it was?
Yamaha, I think, was a bit more professional. Like Casio, you could get for home.
Anybody.
You could get
and they had a few others, but those were the ones, man.
And we had one, but I never quite learned how to play piano on it.
I tried. But then there was some, like a friend of ours, Bill Brown. He had one where you could speak into it and you could suddenly go
play it back.
They had me go, hey brother, or hey bro, and they'd go, hey bro.
Yeah.
On there. It's so much fun. I love those. I like the detail on the hood. Almost looks like Jabba the Hutt skin.
That's so great. I love the fact that he will never kneel before him also too. Facing like certain death
kinda
and torture
like
and everything, but will not kneel before the dark
one. It's kind of a Stephen thing.
Yes, it is.
And I'm
that's
not
also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to belittle Stephen in that sense. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's a whole false god thing right there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yep.
I be reborn.
And the look in his eyes.
Oh man.
Thank you, Frank Langella.
Oh, you did a great job. I even like, he has, talking about this guy here, he has the dust on his head, you know, where he's looking burnt and great.
Yeah, I'm sure the other officers get a look at him. I swear this guy who's played a cop, it was like
probably has been on some other things.
I feel like he was in Superman almost. Like he's one of the cops that did the things. Like, oh yeah, he was both flopping.
When you went out earlier,
like
I was mentioning how this hologram gets done in the new movie.
Yes, it's so great.
It's great, yeah. They even did some
in
their cartoons.
The beginning of the movie too, but
Yeah, I do like that. Kane there,
the Havoc
staff. Yeah. Jiltor. They did put some emotion in those moments. Like, oh, Eric, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
The eyes, I love it.
The performance is so great.
Yeah.
This.
I love the sharp teeth, even. At that moment, he even has the yellow skeleton going on.
Yeah, uh-huh. You're a false god is what
That's
you are.
Exactly right. You know, interestingly enough, I don't know if they even meant to do this, but symbolically, there's a lot to that with this outfit.
Mm-hmm.
The golden calf type thing.
Yeah. It looked like something out of Big Trouble in Little China, though.
Yeah, but there's the golden calf with the horns.
Yeah.
And all of that. There's a lot of symbolism in it, whether they meant it or not. Now, that's another figure that ought to be made, which they did in some of the other lines I was telling you about. What was the name of that line? It was Maddie.
Seven?
No, I think, but it was like the Maddie or whatever it was called.
Oh, Maddie Collector.
Maddie Collector.
Which was part of Mattel's thing.
Yeah, it was very expensive, and they were taller. Like the Super 7. They were taller, but they were good.
No one's going anywhere? Oh, really? Because you're about to all go to Eternia. Yeah, who knew the Cosmic Key could time travel, too? You'll learn that one later.
Yeah.
He's got, like, bat wings or something on the back of it, too.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Evil. Which is also a Shakespearean line I didn't know about.
But he's not alone. Here comes his friends.
I love how it takes part of the scenery.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's just portals everything.
Yeah, I love it. Kind of makes sense, though. Like,
wouldn't you love to see what was left of that street? Oh. What, like, people show up for work the next day and half the building is gone.
You would be seeing inside of it.
Everybody's like, where there's a whole chunk of the street and everything? There's half a car out here.
Yeah, half a car. Yeah, they got that bench there.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty smart, really.
I lie.
Yep. Well, why wouldn't he lie? It's yep. the villain. Well, he even says in this, the loneliness yep. of evil.
Yeah.
Kevin!
Kevin!
I love this. I love this guy.
Something.
They probably had to pay for
Kevin
that Twilight
giving that
Zone
line
mention.
As if he's some veteran of this kind of thing. This is for real. Just get down.
Well, he had been for that night.
Yeah, he's been. Yeah.
He'd already said, here we go.
But yeah, get him! Get him!
He was basically the Dirty Harry of the town, and nobody else would accept it. They're calling him silly for it. This place is more up his speed.
Yeah.
Look at Beastman back there, like, oh. Yeah.
Beastman and Elvira. Evil-Lyn. Evil-Lyn. Are, like, backing out, like, oh, I'm getting out of this. Oh, you can see that punch really completely missed. Well, not really a punch, because no one really gets punched. Even Beastman, when he hits somebody, his palm facing, you know. Somehow or another, not punching everybody, so keep it PG. As you're getting your shoe sniffed by a kitty?
Yeah. I love it. I like the statues. I wonder if they're supposed to be people from the past, kind of like they do in the newer...
The Guardians of Grayskull or something like that. This is the first time you get to see him do a great feat of strength, though.
Well, they were saving it.
Yeah.
Boy, he's a wimp, isn't he?
Yeah. They're backing out.
Not that I completely blame him.
I think part of like Evil-Lyn's thing, though, is Skeletor's not sharing the power with her. Which is what she wants. And she's not getting anything that she wants, so of course she's going to abandon them.
Well, they're all kind of in it for themselves to a point. I do like that sword, and it does kind of have some of the design of the original.
There you go.
Between us.
Here we go. Great line. Let this be our final battle.
Here we go. They were very smart,
and
though.
Yeah, it's a completely different set, little close thing, but they needed to finish it.
Yeah. Very smart, though, the way they did it.
Yeah.
They have... bits and pieces of it.
Because, you know, they couldn't bring an entire crew in to light it up properly.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they did get to do some of it on the set, looks like, too.
And this was the time.
But you do have some sets of Dolph Lundgren, you know, that you can tell it's not on set.
And this was the time of music videos and all, so you can do some of that.
And just like, you know, the new movie did the same thing. You break the Havoc staff. And you break the Havoc staff and it completely melted him down in the new movie. Well, spoiler, I'm sorry.
For you. I like his, finally got a sword.
Yeah.
Because he does have one.
A little bit of lightsaber sound effects, too. The funny thing is you hear him going, no, but yet his mouth is not open as he's falling.
Don't ruin the magic.
Yeah, I can't remember when I was hearing, like, how many people they actually had there, because they were kind of shut down by cannons, but they could have just a few people who couldn't light up the place or anything. Thankfully, they, of course, had filmed the ending first.
And the director did some of this his own self, he said.
That's what because he wanted to finish the movie.
Spielberg did the same thing in that one scene of Jaws. He'd already brought it out for certain viewings, but there was a scene in the pool. They used his friend's pool for that one shot in the boat where they had the guy's head come out. They said that they didn't time it right. So he timed it where he said, this is his words, one more scream. And he did. He redid it. And so they had it with one more scream.
There he is. I got clean air. Got a beautiful woman. This is a great retirement.
I love this part with the tongue.
Some kind of retirement.
The tongue under the lip. That's great. I'll see you in just a few years.
Yeah, on Friends, and I'm your mother.
I'll be your mama. I do like this.
Well, I guess that's the item that's going to allow her to time travel, maybe. Maybe the sorcerer set it up more than the cosmic key did.
Well, the cosmic key sends it back. It's that helps them be able to see in.
Good journey. Destination is but a doorway to another. That's a great one. There are some nice lines in here.
Yeah, there is. Most movies have good moments if they're done right.
Oh, he's a little cold.
I like how he's very golden here.
Yeah. They need to figure it out where he's got, you know, all polished and gold.
If I had made one, then that's how it would have been.
Yeah.
Because, cool. You know, he's wearing red now.
Oh, no, I guess he did it back in time.
Yeah, he did. You know what they're kind of doing there with him? It's kind of the Cowardly Lion thing when he's looking all good.
Yeah. But how did Gwildor know exactly what day to send her back?
Well, that's the
beautiful
thing. To
stop her parents from getting on that plane.
He didn't even tell them. He just said, well, he's a genius. Who knows?
Yeah.
He may have looked it up when he was there. I don't know. I'm not going
to overthink it. You're not supposed to ask these questions that I keep asking.
Yeah, that's right. So he's wearing maroon breeches now.
Da, da, da.
Good music. Bill Conti did an amazing job. Really did.
Yeah, she stings at the end to go back in time a little bit.
I think all of us would have done that at some point.
Wait a minute. I could alter things. My parents won't die on that plane crash. I will go with my parents to the lake instead of with Kevin to wherever
or something. You know, it's funny when you watch old movies. Once in a while, you'll notice things in the background, you're like, oh, wow, I forgot they made that or whatever.
You get your wish.
I do like how innocent she looks here.
Yeah, with that old-fashioned nighty thing.
It's yeah, little pajama-looking thing. It's so cute, though, too. This part is almost heartbreaking.
Yeah.
How we all wish we could do that with your mom. Mm-hmm.
You go back
your
and
grandma.
Change
my,
it.
My grandparents and father.
Well, of course, there's a difference between dying in an accident versus natural.
Natural causes.
Or the beach, not the lake, but yeah. Just taking it away for the day.
I'll get grounded later.
Yeah. But yeah, so they both went back in time. But all the weird thing is, shouldn't their past self still be there, too?
Well, I'm not going to overthink it.
I know. I'm not supposed to ask
they
these questions.
They went to their old bodies. And,
yeah.
But the chief isn't, or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
He's not.
He should be here, too. So you're not supposed to question. You're just supposed to go with it.
Yeah. I like this part.
Yep.
The power. I love it.
Okay, we better. I'm going to hit that button there.
All right,
get us out of there.
I enjoy that.
Yep, it's that bit of nostalgia from when we were kids, and if you took away what Masters of the Universe really should have been, it's still kind of an entertaining film.
And the very end of those of that, with the credits and all, that's when you have Skeletor's head come back up, and he
the
says, "I'll be back.
I'll be back." Which, because they did mean to have a sequel, but that became the script for Cyborg.
Yeah, and it's
Roku's resetting.
It's not
itself.
Great. It's really not great at all. But I can't see how that would have been He-Man. But they changed it, you know, because it wasn't going to be after that. So I don't know what it would have been. There was time traveling in that. Yeah. There's things on Earth. So I don't know how it would have been different.
Yeah.
All I can say is it would have been dumb had they been on Earth again.
Somewhere that original script exists. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows?
Well, so this may not be a perfect movie, but it remains an earnest and entertaining fantasy adventure filled with memorable characters, practical effects, and one of the greatest villain performances of the 1980s.
Yes.
And of course, we talked about sacrificial love, courage under pressure, the responsible use of power, overcoming evil with good, and remaining faithful when hope seems lost.
That's right.
And perhaps most importantly, it reminds us that true heroes aren't defined by their strength, but by what they're willing to sacrifice for others.
That's right.
Because Jesus Christ could have called down a legion of angels, but would have wiped us all out in the process.
That's right.
He chose to die on that cross to save us and sacrificed everything.
The very rocks could have cried out.
The very rocks could have said, like, no, and then hurled themselves at the
Jesus
Romans
gave himself so that when our time comes, we can go and have a good journey to heaven.
That's right. A good journey.
Good journey.
And that's going to wrap us up here for Watching Movies with My Pastor. Be with us next. We got to pick a movie for next month. There's a lot of movies we need to still watch.
I got a few I could think of.
We got a few. We got a ton of movies that we can only watch.
Good journey to one and all.
And we'll see you next time. At the movies.
At the movies.
You could have said it with me if you're going to say
at
it.
At the movies.
Oh, my golly.
I'm stuck. What am I?
Now you can't turn it off.
I can't. I'm stuck.
You can't turn it off.
Good journey, y'all.